All right, welcome to another edition of the Horse Racing Happy Hour. Mike Andolfo, Louis Ribeau, living the dream, drinking the bourbons.
Her day.
Louis, what are you drinking there, Louis? Listen, we're going to get back to the roots of the show. Like, we're going to start talking about freaking alcohol.
Yeah.
Because it's dark outside. And
it is dark outside. This is the Evan Williams single barrel. And if you wanted to get something that's a touch higher proof, so this one is, never mind. This one isn't. This is 86 and a half.
Yeah. No, but it's really good.
It's single barrel. No, it's excellent. And it's the price point hits. Like, that's the point. This one's a little bit older, so it's a different variety than the ones that are out now. It's gotten better, actually. And so a lot of the Evan Williams, I really enjoy. The 1792, I think, is a very approachable.
Evan Williams has a 1792?
It's Evan Williams, right?
1792 is Buffalo.
Or no, keep going.
That's okay. Listen, it's all right. You're from Michigan. You're not from Kentucky. It's excusable. So, you know.
1783, excuse me.
There. Oh, 1783, yes.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah, so 1783, very approachable, good price point, the whole thing. And you get a nice dark color out of this guy, you know, so.
Let's see if Zach knows this trivia question. Let's do trivia with Zach. Zach, why is 1792 bourbon called 1792? Like, what is the significance of 1792? I can't hear you, Zach, because you're not on camera or screen. So he's talking. He might not be talking to us. So I don't know. All right. Well, Louis, do you know the significance of 1792?
Constitution was signed.
The United States was like.
Articles of Confederation, right?
1792 is when Kentucky became a state.
Oh, there we go. That's even worse. All right.
Oh, man.
I love it here. We're good.
So, Louis, I was in Hilton Head last week.
Yeah.
Had a great time.
Doing the
thing. I drove down because I'm one of those people who, like, if they're going to be canceling flights and all that, I'd just rather have control. And it really is not a bad drive. If I had to drive 10 hours to Hilton Head or 10 hours to Destin, I'm going to Hilton Head.
Oh, 1,000 times. Yes.
All the time.
Yes. Thank you. You and I could not agree on this more. I will fly to Fort Lauderdale rather than go to whatever it is that people are doing at Destin. I will. Yeah.
So I get down there. I get down there right around dinner time. And my friends who I'm meeting down there, the people who whose house we used before, I got down there a couple days early to hang out with them before they left. And my friends got down there. We had dinner with an awesome guy named Joe. So shout out to Joe.
Hey, Joe, what's up?
Joe was excited because Joe's a New Jersey, Philly. He's a Philly attorney. Nice. You know, he's probably close to 70 or something like that. And
yeah,
man, that dude loved to talk horse racing. So there was four people having a conversation on one end of the table, and Joe and I just talking horse racing.
There you
and
go.
He was loving it. So we might have a new fan of the show. Joe's got the link now, so we'll see what happens.
Pennsylvania, New Jersey, our fastest growing states this year, actually. So welcome to the club, man. Yeah.
I know, we just talked because, I mean, the casino gambling, what that's done for parks and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's been great, you know.
Yep.
So speaking of that, we had a big day at parks last weekend.
We did.
We're going to go ahead. I don't know. I hope Zach's ready to go. But we'll go ahead and talk about the Cotillion Stakes and watch a little bit of the race replay if we're ready to go. Zach, are we ready to go? No, you know what? We're not ready to go. So what did you think about the Cotillion Stakes?
This is one of those where you feel dumb afterward for leaving a horse out, and Society's one of those horses. Because, by the way, naming a filly Society whose dad is Gunrunner is just good. It's just good work by the owners of that horse. And kind of an Asmussen special here, where you get that stretch out. You get a horse that, because of the breeding, makes sense for the two-turn Cotillion. Take a shot in that spot, because the two horses that are in the contention – one has run a huge number of races and needs some time off. And then the other is Adair Mariner, and she hasn't run since the Black Eyed Susan. So you don't know what you're going to get. And so, frankly, in that spot, I should have been smarter, looked at those two angles, and thought about it, talked about it with Barry Spears, the urban handicapper, the sniper last week. And both of us really liked Adair Mariner in that spot. Her works at Santa Anita all made sense. And frankly, you know, it paid off in the Pennsylvania Derby. Table was definitely the best. But, Society just out front, stayed out front. Style that, frankly, had she been able to run it in the spring, probably would have made her a contender in the Kentucky Oaks.
Let's take a look. That means hit play, Zach. Anytime you want to. Hit the play button. It's right on the screen. I can't hit the play button, but you can.
Oh, no.
So,
but essentially, just out front, it was clear.
I did hit the play button.
Yeah, so, well, it's not playing. Okay, so we're getting hit by technology.
But Floral Giroux essentially just, you know, he's told go out front, stay out front, and she does it. I mean, she absolutely does it. So credit to the team because they clearly had a plan. And the fractions were fast enough at the beginning, but not.
Here comes Secret Oath, who's now alone in second. Green up is really extended. Morning Matcha from the back of the field. Less than a quarter mile to go. Society has still got a four-length cushion. Here comes Secret Oath in pursuit, but Society is still clear. Approaching a final furlong. Society, Morning Matcha to the inside of Secret Oath there, second and third. Society got right to the front, has a 16th to go. And Society is going to win the cotillion as much the best.
And that, I mean, that was dominant right there.
Yeah, 110. In the fractions there, 23, 46, and 110. I mean, she was moving, man. It was impressive. And so this race played to her very well because the Cotillion's at a mile and a 16th, not a mile and an eighth. I don't think she gets caught there. I don't think Morning Matcha catches her in another 16th, anything like that. But the distance did seem to be pretty perfect for her. So kudos to the Asmussen team for placing her in that spot. It's a million-dollar race. The second-place horse, by the way, is a Pennsylvania bred, so that was kind of cool, Morning Matcha. That's got to be a dream horse for the connections up there. But, yeah.
And Secret Oath has just turned into a horse that just hits the board kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, the race before that, Scaramouche won, and then Society won. And in the sheet, the double was 14-9, and it paid like 200-1, something like that. So that was just sitting out there. The sheet also had the straight exacta. So if you played the exacta box for like 240, I mean, it had everything. So it nailed the Cotillion, which was very cool. So
our boys at Green Sheet getting it done.
There you go.
All right. We're going to move on to the Pennsylvania Derby, which we saw a lot of familiar names in this race. And I'm going to admit, man, I'm a little surprised. Mm. I mean, I would not have given it to Taba. I would not have thought that. I don't know. I'm not there on Taba. And especially looking at Cyberknife and all these other horses that were in this race. It's a big run. So yeah. What were your thoughts?
Essentially that we only played two horses and they were Cyberknife and Taba because he was the absolute wild card here as far as was he going to come back from the Haskell and not run that second but finish the race. He did everything you would want a horse to do at a mile and an eighth. They have a very interesting predicament with him for the Breeders' Cup because he just won a grade one and they could try him in the Classic. I don't think that's a good idea. With Flight Line and Life is Good being in that group. I think for him, the two-turn dirt mile at Keeneland might be perfect, frankly. And I haven't really totally dived into who's going to be in that race, in that field. But I think for Taba, if they're willing to do it because he's three, etc., man, go try the dirt mile because I think he can go. I think he's got a serious shot in the dirt mile.
That'll be interesting because I think that dirt mile could be loaded. So,
But the Classic's so loaded that it's not worth it. So unless classics, you think a fourth place check is worth it, I mean, he's not better than Epicenter, he's not better than Life is Good, and he's not better than Flightline, and so he's easily looking in the fourth spot, unless Epicenter just trips out of the gate or something, maybe pick off third. But like, frankly, some of the horses running in the Lucas Classic Saturday at Churchill that we'll talk about later in the show, put him in a spot where Classic's loaded, man. I mean, it's loaded, and so. It'll be interesting to see because, you know, Rich Strike is running Saturday. I would not run him in the Breeders' Cup. I would save him from the Clark because he loves Churchill Downs. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do there. You know, Taba's not eligible to run at Churchill Downs right now because he's trained by Bob Baffert. So he's obviously can't go and do that. But the Cigar Mile is the next week. Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe he goes and runs the Cigar Mile, that kind of thing. That's a grade one in New York. That might be worth it at that point. So I just don't know. But it'll be interesting to watch what they do with him next.
All right, let's take a look at his stretch run here in the Pennsylvania Derby. Man, we're going to talk over this, Lou.
So White of Mario actually ran a really good race here. Simplification moves to the lead here, and then Taba, in the middle of the course, takes over the race. Cyberknife is down at the rail there, as you can see. And Taba just gets out and is the best horse on the day. Cyberknife runs second here. And so just a really good the top two horses rose to the top here. But Taba was, what was that, 2.5 lengths, 3 lengths there? And so very much the best horse. And I think that there's a you know, that three-year-old group is interesting because on their best days, there's a lot of good horses in that group, but many of them don't show up every time they run. Part of that is they're 3 years old. Part of that is it's really a middling kind of group. And so I don't think any of the three-year-olds are going to make, the colts on the dirt side, on the three-year-old side, are going to make much of an impact on the Breeders' Cup. But if they will, it'll be a horse like Taba in the mile. Over two turns at Keeneland.
Taba beating Jack Christopher?
No.
Okay. Taba beating Royal Ship?
Right. Yes, he can.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting because, I mean, even in that group then, you have Speaker's Corner, right? Mm-hmm. But that's two turns again. I mean, it's really an interesting thing because the layout of Keeneland is so different than any of the New York horses or Churchill Downs or whatever you want to look at, where having to go those two turns for the mile makes the mile different for a horse like Speaker's Corner, who's really a 7 furlong specialist, but is 2 for 3 lifetime at the mile. Best speed figure in the last little bit is at a mile. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'm very excited to see where the horses go for the Breeders' Cup because I think we're going to get a pretty – it feels like a very deep Breeders' Cup this year for some reason.
So. Oh, I think – I agree. I think it really does. You know, hey, Zach, I just want to ask you a question real quick if you want to come on screen. I asked Louis earlier what he was drinking. So typically the normal response would be, this is what I'm drinking. But then he would say, hey, Mike, what are you drinking? By the way, Zach, are you drinking anything right now?
I am.
What kind of are you drinking? The finest of breast milks.
I am. No, I just finished off a Booker's.
A Booker's. Oh my gosh, you went hot and heavy early on in the evening. That's all right. Put some hair on that chest.
What are you drinking, Mike?
I am drinking, and the reason why I wanted to be asked is a couple of reasons. Number one, this is a bourbon barrel, a Knob Creek barrel that Louie and I picked out.
We did
last year. So we actually picked the entire barrel because it was celebrating our. The 10-year anniversary of my real estate company opening up my real estate brokerage. So today is the 11th anniversary of the real estate brokerage. So it's a little birthday action. So
there you go.
And of course, we're in the RE Solutions studios, I guess, for lack of a better term. So, so pretty exciting day for us because we're open for another year. So
congratulations.
American small business, hard at work. So
paying taxes.
If you want to support the show, another way to support the show is, let me know if you need a great realtor. And it doesn't have to be just in Louisville. We can find you great realtors anywhere in the country. Like, for example, Louis' wife needed a realtor up in Michigan. We hooked her up, and
Speaking of, got my Grand Rapids hat on tonight.
Nice. All right.
GR USA, what's up?
Yeah. My girl up in Grand Rapids took good care of your in-laws, right?
So. She did. It was kind of a weird set of buyers, and she navigated them through a not a great experience, too. So, actually, it was good. It was really good.
Yeah, just anytime. And of course, Zach, I think you know this, but my worst ever real estate transaction, my worst ever real estate experience was actually Louis buying his house, but that's okay. we don't need to talk about that. We're still friends, obviously. And it wasn't anything that any of us could have done, right? So, anyway, moving on to the handicapping section of the show.
Oh, I was going to say, do we want to throw out the RE Solutions address in case people want to send you bourbon, Mike?
Well, we're resolutions.realtor online. That's the web address right there. So, okay. So we're going to start Green Sheet handicapping segment. Again, our friends at Green Sheet Racing, greensheetracing.com is where you can go download your weekly tip sheets, and like Louis said, I mean they're doing good work, aren't they, Louis?
They are, and we always encourage people. You know, it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm buying the green sheet to just copy everything in the sheet. That's not it. You don't listen to this show and just copy everything that comes out of my mouth. You should get as much information as you can. Read the sheet yourself. You know, whatever form you get. You know, listen to us or whatever else, whoever else you're listening to. Frankly, we are not. You don't have to be monogamous with our show. How's that? And so just get as much information you can. Greensheetracing.com, at Sheet Racing on Twitter as well. They put out all their stuff. But, I mean, they have some really cool, if you're interested in trying it out, you know, month-long subscriber rates, if you just want the weekend cards, that kind of thing. They offer all of those packages. And you can always find my late sequence this week at Santa Anita, the late pick 5, around the awesome again. At greensheetracing.com or at your local store in lots of places. Go pick up the sheet, maybe at your track, at Gulfstream, or at Churchill Downs, wherever it might be. And just $5. Nice and easy. So there you go.
Louis, we have fans of the show because I'm getting text messages right now of people who I gave a bottle of that bourbon to sending me pictures of that bourbon. So
there you go.
Yes. And yeah, I love it. All right. So let's go on to we got tons of good racing because really, Louis, when it comes down to it, like this is
the last of the Breeders' Cup winning in weekends. Yes.
Right.
Yep.
This is the big weekend for those people to get ready for the Breeders' Cup. Do you want to talk a little bit about what we're thinking about doing for the shows coming up in October, since the racing might be a little light?
Oh, October?
Yeah, we talked about October. You know, October's next week is October.
So we just be doing the show?
Yeah, but didn't we talk about, you know, we're going to be bringing in some other people from around the coast and all that kind of stuff? Are we still going to
do you mean our Breeders' Cup preview shows?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to do our normal Breeders' Cup week. So you're going to hear from Tim Wilkin in New York. You're going to hear from someone in Southern California. It might be Rob Heaney. It might be John Sherva. I don't know yet. You're going to hear from our guy, James Welsh, in Scotland to preview those European turf sprinters, especially those turf horses. Excuse me, not sprinters, but just turf horses in general. James also is just a fan of American racing. So he gives.
Yeah, he knows his American horses for sure.
Loves American dirt racing. He's a really great resource for us. For someone across the pond who is a completely neutral observer, just trying to make money of, you know, coming in and looking at and, you know, checking all the boxes to make sure we've got the right ticket. If you listened to us last year, we had the late pick four in the Breeders' Cup on Saturday. Nailed. And so that was a great show. He is so much fun. The Scottish accent makes horse racing sound even better. And so we'll have all those shows like we have in the past. And so those are the shows that made me realize the more content we put out, the better, because people just flock to those shows. But we'll do, you know, we'll do 60, 70, 80,000 listens that week. And please be part of that for sure. And we'll try to do a little bit more video. I'd like to see if I can't get all those guys on video as well. So
yeah, we're working on it.
Yeah, I know Tim's going to definitely jump on from New York. He was at Saratoga all summer. And then we'll get somebody from Southern California. I'm really not worried about that. Somebody that was in the newsletter with me. And then, we'll get James. We'll get James Welsh from Scotland, and we'll get it together.
Maybe we'll try to even get maybe a new voice on here that hasn't been on.
I've thought about asking.
Well, you know who I want to ask, so.
Do I?
Yes, we talked about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a person who I make fun of a lot, but I still would like to have him on the show.
Oh, yeah. There's
actually, two people I make fun of a lot that I would like to have on the show.
I think he'd be really good, yeah.
Yeah.
He actually would be. But right. No, the other person might be Darwin Vizcaya, who does all of the Spanish language stuff for NAIRA. He's a Venezuelan expat and lives in New York now. I might have Darwin on.
You know, we might have to go find a Japanese.
At this point, you're not wrong at all. And so, you know, we might have to get someone who follows Japanese racing. I know a guy in Arizona that does that, so maybe we'll have to hit him up. And so, it's good stuff.
All right, let's. We're going to move on to the talk about the Grade One Woodward. We're going to talk about the Aqueduct meet, the Big A at Belmont at the Big A is what it is. Yes, Belmont at the Big A, and we're going to talk about the Woodward Stakes, $500,000 on the line for a mile and an eighth on the dirt. And this is again the first of just an unbelievable amount. I mean, you could watch just great races after great races after great races.
Saturday is going to be an awesome day. That's right.
Watch little college football, little horse racing. It's going to be a great day.
This is one of those days, especially here. I'll be at Churchill, so it doesn't apply to me, but this is a great day to, you know.
I've got three TVs on my screen in patio right now.
There it is. Boom. That, maybe on your phone with the races. I don't know, but like.
Oh, no, I got one specifically for TVG.
Perfect. And so just the, with our friends over at FanDuel and all that. But yeah, it's one of those days where you've got Kentucky Ole Miss top 15 matchup over here, and then you've got the horses next to it. And I'm definitely going out for the races on Saturday at Churchill. So
I love it. And this first race right here, because I think we see some horses that could make some noise. I don't know if anyone here could beat Life Is Good, but because of the longer odds on some of these horses, a horse like Informative, I'm fascinated by what this race could shape out, especially from the exotic place.
Thomas Shelby just ran a huge race. I mean,
exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, no question.
Yeah, so who do you like in this one besides Life Is Good?
Yeah, I saw David Arrow going on Twitter the other day say, okay, I'm going to have to get out the 1-9 line for Life Is Good. He's right to do that in this case. What's interesting, the only snag of that is that if this was a mile and an eighth at Belmont, it'd be one turn. It's a mile and an eighth at Aqueduct, so it's two turns. I think it plays to horses like Life Is Good, though, that it's longer sweeping turns, so it's less – it's less of an aggressive turn, if you will, and they can kind of just stay on that lead for a while, and then when they get down backstretch, stay on that lead, then get back on that left lead again around the second turn. And so I think he'll be fine. And I agree with you that he's absolutely the likely winner here. Interesting thing about the betting sequence here, this is part of the late pick five. It's also part of the Grand Slam for a dollar, and I'll be playing the Grand Slam this weekend because I think it's a very approachable $1 bet. I have a $20 ticket for it, and I think it'll pay something between $80 and $100. So it's not going to be a huge return, but because Life is Good is part of it, you get a free space essentially. And so I do like Thomas Shelby here at 15-1, Dylan Davis and David Jacobson. Used to be in the Deodoro Barn and ridden by our buddy David Cohen for a very, very long time. At one point, this horse was picking off races like crazy. He's still won over a third of his races in his life. He's hit the board 20 out of 30 times. So it's just a horse that finishes well, hits the board, does his thing. And so I think he's one of those horses underneath that you have to watch. Keep Me in Mind is in this race. Super consistent horse, always runs a buyer in the 90s. Is going to be under Joel Rosario. That's Todd Pletcher. The two of them, you know, are a 17% kind of combination. That horse is going to be part of the group as well. So, I mean, I would look for some kind of combination of those. I don't know a lot about Law Professor, I'll be really honest. I also don't know how well horses are going to come out of Kentucky Downs this year.
Well, especially going to
see that this weekend.
Turf to dirt. I mean, I know it's traditionally a dirt horse. I mean, Law Professor at 8-1 is the one to me that doesn't make a ton of sense.
And Rob Atrus does go 24% turf to dirt. And I want to be really clear about something. I got nothing against Kentucky Downs, but that's not a turf course. That's a meadow course.
Mm-hmm. It's running in a field.
Yeah, it's running in a field. It really is. Yeah. And there's whatever. It's fine. It's a ton of money. People love it down there. You know,
I'm having a good hair day.
Attaboy.
That's solid. All right.
I'm wearing a hat for a reason. Dan Issel called me follically challenged the other day. Thank you, Dan.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I had to come up on Monday with so tomorrow after school, I am the secret reader for the third grade class that my son is in.
Password is.
Right. And I had to come up with five clues about myself. So I started really, you know, sort of generic. And then tomorrow it's going to, the giveaway is tomorrow. Okay. And I said, I thought I'd make it part of the 10 to noon show that I do. And I was like, oh, you know, why don't we come up with the questions on here? And Dan goes, how about that? You're follically challenged. And I was like, okay, so we're not going to do that.
Dan's just too easy on you. No.
Yeah, that's it. And so that's what I'm saying. I think I like a Thomas Shelby more than I like a Law Professor in this spot to hit the board. And so I'm one on top for sure by a mile. But I think that the three is part of the equation afterward. And so if Dylan Davis can give this horse a good ride, he'll be right there. But yeah, lean on Life is Good in your late ticket sphere for sure.
I also just, again, I'm going to throw out, I like the fact that the five's improving. I mean, this is only his fifth time out, but is improving every race and ran a pretty big number last time out. I know he's stepping up big time in class, but still, this is...
The other part of this, by the way, is that it's going to rain on Saturday in New York. They just ran the Whitney on a good surface at Saratoga, on a almost muddy surface, and Life is Good was fine. So that to me, points out a lot of my handicapping at Aqueduct this weekend is based on it being wet. And so just a heads up for people. If it doesn't rain, ignore this segment.
All right, let's go on to the Mrs. Grillo. It's Grillo.
Miss Grillo.
Right? Miss Grillo.
Yeah.
$200,000 mile in the 16th turf race for fillies who are just 2 years old. That's why it's a Ms. and not a Mrs., I guess. Who do you like in this 2 year old filly race on the turf? Which, again, I don't even know how you handicap, but that's okay.
There are two horses in this race that have only ever gone two turns on the turf their whole lives and have been really effective. Flavian Pratt is on the two free look for Chad Brown, and on the six is Jose Ortiz for Horacio De Paz. And so I think you lean on those two. I agree with David Aragon of the Morning Line Maker at Naira that those are the two best horses here. I would lean harder on the six, Be Your Best. She's never done anything but win by open lengths. She just seems to be the kind of horse that it's interesting. You and I talk about this on the show a lot, Mike, that even as two-year-olds, you can kind of figure out the attitude and the what the composure of a filly is going to be.
Yeah. Okay.
And Be Your Best is one of those. I've watched both of these races. Actually, both of them I was watching live. She just likes to be out front. She likes to win. And she doesn't mind being in the pack and having to do a little bit of maneuvering and all that. They keep Jose on her for both rides. I think it makes a lot of sense. What's fascinating is The two of them so far are 1-17 at the Aqueduct meet, Horacio De Paz and Jose Ortiz. But this horse is different. She's different. So I think Be Your Best is most likely winner. But Free Look looked great last time out, breaking her maiden at Saratoga on the turf at a mile and a 16th. So should be able to come back here on a New York surface and win as well. So I'm 6-2 in the second leg here.
And, of course, this is a Breeders' Cup winner in for the juvenile Philly turf. And then Miss Griot, just if anyone was wondering.
And I think, by the way,
I mean,
Be Your Best ahead. Could be your Breeders' Cup winner.
Like, I think never she's hear that, from again.
Possibly turf horses, fillies, maybe they stick around a little bit longer.
Well, it's not even that. It's just that, again, we got the 2-year-olds who just mature faster than the other horses. Sure. And they just kind of. But so Miss Griot was a. This race has been run since the 1980. Since 1980. And Miss Griot was a record breaking winner of in the 1940s who won the Diana Handicap twice.
Sheesh.
There you go. All right. The Belmont Turf Sprint. The Belmont Turf Sprint at Aqueduct. All right. To my good friend who I've never met. All right. Who do we like in this one, Louie? This is a $200,000 race, 6 furlongs, outer turf course.
Boo.
3-year-olds and up.
Just kidding. I don't think they have a bougie turf.
Will they be taking things off the turf? If could it be that bad?
I don't know.
Is this hurricane weather, by the way?
No, it's not. Okay. It is. No, the hurricane will be in the Carolinas on Saturday.
Okay.
I think they'll run the late races on the turf. My sense is the early races won't be on the turf. They'll do something like that. So we'll get a softer surface, which is worth looking at. It's one of those as well. This is the spread leg for me in the spread race in this leg. Arzak is an obvious include for a lot of things here. The problem is she's only 1-9 on the turf lifetime, has never raced at the track. She's been in a lot of graded company, in a lot of graded company. You get Irad on the turf, which is why I'm leaning on this horse. The two of them, though, he and Michael Trombetta, the trainer, 0-9. So kind of an interesting thing. And that's one of the reasons that this feels like an all-ish kind of race. Voodoo Zip is in this race. Joel Rosario gets the mount again. Was on him last time out. In the sprint at Saratoga and the Lucky Coin. That race, three of the horses come back. And I think Thin White Duke, who was in that race, the horse right behind him, Dancing Buck, you're going to get a number. That's Manny Franco, Michelle Nevin, 6-1, the 10 horse. You're going to get a really, really good price on that horse before that race. Win, both of them, one of them at Belmont, one of them at Saratoga, over a good course. So if this course gets a little wet, gets graded down to, say, good or yielding or whatever it might be, this could be a really heavy play in Dancing Buck the 10. Everyone on this who listens to this show knows what a fan of Manny Franco I am, so I totally trust him in this spot. I mentioned Thin White Duke. I think you have to play him. Another huge value play is Fauci, who's in this race, the 9 horse. 15-1. Just ran 3/4 of a length off of a win in the Lucky Coin. He's not 15-1 if he wins that race. A little bit of a late speed turf sprinter, so if it gets too crazy, he might actually be able to pick up the pieces here, especially over 6 furlongs, because it was 5.5 last time out. If he has 6 furlongs, he wins that race at Saratoga. So maybe the distance will actually help him here. So I really don't have an official pick for this race, I'll be really honest. I think that it's pretty wide open, but kind of look around. Find the horse that you think is the best. There is a horse in this race that's won over a good course before, and that's Chewing Gum, the 11. 8-1, Jose Lascano for Bill Mott. The two of them are already hitting at 26% at this meeting. So if you need a horse that's coming out of, again, that Kentucky Downs meet, went and tried to run for the turf sprint, I think the turf sprint is either 750,000 or $1 million race. Obviously, why you go and you chase it. This horse was eighth, never liked the course, but before that ran okay at Woodbine and then won over a good course at Santa Anita in the Hernandez.
Talk about racing anywhere too. Anywhere and
they ship this horse everywhere. That's exactly right. And so the horse has run at Belmont at Aqueduct before, finishing third. Great speed figure though in behind a Recipe Red, and I think of that as not being bad because Recipe Red is a fine turf sprinter.
100%.
It's just that kind of race. However many horses you can afford in this leg, that's what I would do.
All right, then we're going to move on to
Mike's race.
The next race, the Champagne Stakes, bougie champagne. And we've mentioned this. I think my new horse of the show is in this race because I think we're going to have to make this. If you know, we haven't talked about it enough. We've talked about it before. Andiamo a Firenze. If anyone ever says Andiamo a Firenze to me, I'm going to say C, because I Florence love Florence.
Awesome. Yep.
Andiamo a Firenze means let's go to Florence.
Yes, it does.
And I'm all about it. So let's go to Florence.
Andiamo a Firenze.
So that is, I don't even need to look. Who else? This is my hot rod Charlie to race. This is who I'm going with. And at 6-1, I'll take that price too. Louis, I know you like Andiamo a Firenze as well.
If it rains and we get a good to sloppy course, Andiamo a Firenze runs away with this race. 2-for-2 lifetime, over wet go, both at Belmont and at Saratoga. Did not matter which surface. So to me, if you can win at Belmont by open lengths, Saratoga by open lengths, the only time this horse had trouble was in the Sanford behind Most Striking Great Navigator, and that was over a fast course. If this horse loves the slop, let's love the slop on Saturday. I'm assuming rain. I had to turn in my picks for ABR today. I have Andiamo a Firenze on top in this race. Gulfport is an obvious contender here. Fine colt. Fine colt. And Uncle Mo, Unbridled Song on the bottom. Jose Ortiz, Steve Asmussen. If it's dry, that horse is going to win. And then you also have to look at Verifying the Three, because this is a Brad Cox special right here, man. This is a midshipman, which is incredible. They breed this horse for 10 grand. They sell him for 170 in March this year. Look for that horse, though. Oh, excuse me. I looked at the wrong horse. They bred him for 100 because he's a Justified. And they sell him for $775,000. It's a royal horse at this point. Breaks his maiden at Saratoga by a 1¾ lengths. They keep Joel Rosario here for Brad Cox, the two of them hitting together at 30% this year. So I think you have to use the 1, 3, and 6 in this leg. But if it's raining and it's an obvious sloppy track, I'm going to go cheap, and I'm going to use Andiamo a Firenze as a single here.
So just and of course these connections have won this race before. They won it in 2017 with Firenze Fire. Here are the horses who have won this race.
Oh, this is it. Go.
It's sick, right? Easy. So yeah. Complexity beat Code of Honor the next year. Tis the Law.
Yep.
Jackie's Warrior, and that, of course Midnight Bourbon came in third in that race. And Jack Christopher. That's who's
Sheesh.
Won this race.
Yeah, that's a great predictor.
Shanghai Bobby,
success.
Union Rags. God. I mean, just going back to some of the old daddies. Scat Daddy. I mean, jeez. Uncle Mo was actually won this race. Man. Yeah. A Fleet Alex came in second.
What's so cool about this race is it's for two-year-olds. It's at a mile, but because of the layout of Belmont and now of Aqueduct, it's one turn, man. You can really, your two-year-old could show up. He can do his damn thing in this race. And so, no, it's cool. That's, wow, that's a hell of a list. That's cool.
That's what I'm here for, Louis.
Coolest.
Yeah. Not, yeah, for coolness, for sure. I mean, but, you know, when people look at me, they're like, hey, that guy's really cool. All right.
Great hair day that guy's having.
I am having a great hair day. And at my age, I'll take it. Okay, we're going to go to Churchill now. Cool. You're going to be out there Saturday, you said.
I'm taking all my kids out.
I might show up. I wouldn't rule it out.
I would put the chance of Mike showing up at about 10%.
The weather's going to be great.
It's going to be unbelievable. Yeah.
So,
and I know you're not going to Oxford, so, yeah. It is.
I'm not. My parents are, though. My family's going. Yeah, they're going to Oxford.
By the way, the late pick four starts at 4:22. No excuse to not watch the Kentucky game and then come out.
Yeah. I do think you could have a nice little double there where Kentucky wins and then go win some races, because I think Kentucky is going to smack that ass.
Wipe that booty up.
Wipe it up. we're going to start with a race that I know you and I both like, and that's the ACAC.
For sure.
And the ACAC is a $300,000 mile race on the dirt for three-year-olds and up. And who do you like in this one, Louis?
All right, so Speaker's Corner is here, and you have to make a decision. Is Speaker's Corner vulnerable, or is he not? And the only reason I ask that is, three races ago, he runs against Flightline and loses. I'm here to tell you there's no shame in losing to Flightline. Last race, he in the Nehrud at Belmont, he wins, or excuse me, he runs second to Life is Good. Life is Good is not in this race. He's in the Woodward. Okay. But then he goes out west in the Pat O'Brien, and he finishes fourth up the track. And so you have to decide if the trip west was just too much, and he'll bounce back here with no problem, coming off a bullet workout at Saratoga. My sense is that he will. The interesting thing is there are two other very good horses in this race. One of them is a horse for course, and his name's Folsom. He's the 3. He's 5-1. That's a Cox Giroux, Frenchie aboard. And one for one over this distance, because he's won at Churchill Downs over the 1 mile distance. Or is he the one that won at Oaklawn? No, he won at Oaklawn going two turns. I'm really interested in Folsom here. He's 5-for-8 lifetime on fast dirt, 2-for-2 on wet dirt. They tried him on turf earlier in his career, so he's 8-for-14 lifetime. But if you take those out, he is 7-for-10 lifetime on dirt with a third place finish. Super high level numbers, runs really well, gets Florent Giroux back. Florent was on him for that Oakland mile, was on him for the Smarty Jones, the Indiana Derby, etc. Untreated is in this race, the two. Pletcher, I was thinking about this, Mike, as I was handicapping today. I don't know that I trust.
You seem torn.
No. Here's the deal. I trust Pletcher to place horses at Churchill as much as anyone, which is wild because he's clearly a New York-based guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's here for reasons, what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Runs in the Suburban at Belmont. And his third barely loses to Dynamic One. Runs against Olympiad in the Jockey Club. Again, another horse, no shame in losing to him by 4.5 lengths. So untreated, I don't think it's unintentional that he's here. I think they're really trying to get this horse in the Breeders' Cup because this is a Breeders' Cup winning in. But I can't look past Speaker's Corner. He's clearly the best horse in this race. And
even money.
If we get Speaker's Corner, you know, that isn't up against Flightline, that isn't up against Life is Good, that didn't have to fly to California, frankly, in a boxcar, then I think we're good to go. I'd love to know when he got to Churchill Downs because he was training on Saturday or Friday, it's 23rd, Friday at Saratoga. I'd love to know when he got here. It might be a case where that Belmont's a bit like Safi Joseph where it's like, no, we want to get there as late as possible, maybe like the Wednesday before or something like that. But this is a clear spot where they think this is our chance to get into the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. And so I trust him in this spot because if you look back at his stuff, he runs in the Met Mile. Before that, he wins the Carter at Aqueduct over 7 furlongs. Before that, he's in the Gulfstream Park Mile. He wins that one. That's a one-turn mile as well. He's in the Hooper at Gulfstream as well at a mile. That's a one-turn mile. He wins that. So I think in this group, he's the best. So you just have to make a decision in your pick five, pick four, whatever you're playing. Is it Speaker's Corner or is it that first group of 3, 1, 2, and 3? Because you might get value if the other two hit. My sense is it's going to be Speaker's Corner on Saturday.
All right. So we're going to move
on. By the way, there's a long shot in this race that I like a lot.
Who's Louis Longshot?
Louis Longshot.
Senor Buscador is the 8-12-1, Francisco Arrieta, Todd Fincher.
You just like to say that name.
No. They've never connected before. They've never been on a horse before. That horse he ran great in that Pat O'Brien, in the race that Speaker's Corner didn't run well in. He's got consistent buyers of high 80s, lower 90s. He's never had anything different. Super lightly raced. He won the Springboard Mile at Remington Park as a three-year-old. Comes back as a four-year-old this year. He wins in an allowance race. He runs in the San Diego Handicap with freaking Royal Ship Country Grammar and Stiletto Boy over 2 turns at Del Mar. Bad idea. They bring him back at 7 furlongs in the Pat O'Brien. And he runs a really good race. He's only 3/4 of a length behind American Theorem. And you know how I feel about American Theorem.
Mm-hmm.
That's a serious horse. And so for me, if you're looking for a horse, he might not win. I'm not sure. But he just had a bullet workout over 5 furlongs at Churchill Downs, 58 seconds. If you want a longer shot on Saturday to bet, look at Senor Buscador in this race. 12.
Louis Longshot.
We're going to go on to the Lucas, which is a $500,000 race, mile and an eighth. And of course, like, listen, this is even furthers the opportunity that I will show up at Churchill Downs, because if HRC can't win this race, he's never going to win another race again.
Oh,
okay. I mean, I don't think that's even choice. Like, if I had to go HRC versus Art Collector, I'm taking HRC hands down. No, I would single HRC in this race. That's how I feel about it. So
Hot Rod Charlie has 4 wins and 17 starts. And our guy Art Collector is 10-for-19. And I think he's much more of a winner than HRC is. And he gets into tough spots and he wins. I love that Louis Size is coming in for the day. Wins the Saratoga and the Elidar, coming back from the Arabian Peninsula. Horses never do that, Mike, right? And the list is very short where they come back for the Arabian Peninsula and they're ready to go. Second off the layoff, he comes back 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
And wins the Charlestown Classic again by open lengths. Now, mind controls
that race.
That's the second
time winning that, right? Yeah.
Yes, last year he won the year before. So it's not a huge field, but he comes back, he does the damn thing, right? Over a mile and an eighth again. He's here for a mile and an eighth in this one in the Lucas. I've never understood why they don't run this at the classic distance, but whatever. Happy Saver to me is the absolute I can't figure out what to do horse in this race. Runs great in the Whitney, but Life Is Good is there. Runs great in the Met Mile, but Flightline is there. Runs great in the Elisheba, but Olympiad is there. Runs great in the Clark, but Maxfield is there. Like, is he just destined to be the second place horse behind a bunch of these horses that are better than him? Is Art Collector in that group with those other three horses with Life Is Good, Flightline, Olympiad? To me, he's not.
No, he's not over close. I don't
think. Hot Rod Charlie's not in that group either. I think Happy Saver's got a serious shot on Saturday. That's Pletcher and Velasquez again. I do think Hot Rod Charlie's got a shot. I love, L-O-V-E, the move to Tyler here in a serious way. I mean it.
The fields that HRC's been going up against and the fields that Art Collector's been going up recently are completely different. And so that's
absolutely willing. It should be taken into account. I think that Hot Rod Charlie's won once in the last.
We got disqualified, and then he finished Haskell first. Yeah.
So his last win was in the Louisiana Derby before that, the win in Maidan. Is that right? So it'll be interesting to see, because I think Tyler does as good a job of turning second place horses into winning horses of anyone in the country. So I think it's a really good pickup there. In my pick four, I'm going to play 2, 3, and 5. Hot Rod Charlie, Happy Saver, and Art Collector.
And then who won this race last year? Do you remember?
The Lucas Classic last year. I don't.
Knicks Go.
Oh, little K Knicks Go. There we go. All right.
There you go. That was
Did he ever do anything after that? I can't remember.
Well, he won the Breeders' Cup Classic. And that was it. And then
actually, the last two Breeders' Cup Classic winners have come out of this race, now that I think about it. So,
yeah. All right.
No big deal.
Santa Anita.
By the way, I wanted to give out my pick four. Yeah. Sorry.
Jesus, I mean, you are interrupting King today. I mean, it's like I'm
gonna hey, I'm trying to talk here.
Yeah, so yeah, you talk the whole freaking time. Like, forget your pick four. That make people pay for it.
Louis the rest Longshot. Of the time. Louis
no, Churchill Downs is not in the sheet. What are we doing?
Well, you can make him pay for it. Just have people give you $5.
And Cash App, bro.
Venmo, like just like our other boy does. You know, just Venmo away. All right, what's your pick four, Louis?
I'm gonna do an old school 3-3-3-3. Starting race 8, 1-7-8. 1-2-3, 2-3-5, and then in the last 7-3-8.
All right. You got a better chance to win the Powerball. All right, here we go.
Thanks for tuning in as Mike besmirches the reason that you listen to the handicapping section.
I hope that's not the only reason. Oh, the handicapping section, maybe, but the Santa Anita is where you're gonna have your green sheet pick. So we're gonna have
that is correct.
In the sheet you can get Louis' most likely winner. His favorite he's against, and he's doing a pick five, I believe, in the green
pick
sheet.
Pick five, man. That's it's tough because in California, the takeout rates on pick fours are just
awful.
Unplayable. So we're playing the pick five, late pick five. I thought about doing a pick six, but I'd rather give out a winning ticket than play the pick six.
Oh, all right. And is that the last five races of the day, or is
so
it
it's
the
race six through 10. Yep, it is the last five. Yep.
Okay, well, we're going to start with race three, which is the John Henry Turf Championship. Oh, yeah. Mile and a quarter, $200,000 downhill turf course.
Let me get down the hill, y'all.
Get downhill. All right, Louis.
Cool Master thing about the downhill turf course. Yeah, no, he's on the list for sure, and I think he's on the top because he's won at the distance before. He's won the Shoemaker Mile at Santa Anita. Always hits the board when he's at Santa Anita. So if you're playing an exacta trifecta, whatever, the four horse with Umberto on the grass at Santa Anita has to be part of it. Gold Phoenix comes in. Juan Hernandez, probably the best jockey right now at Santa Anita. For Phil D'Amato. Phil D'Amato has become the Chad Brown of the West Coast. He has three of the six starters here. This horse is 1-3-1 in five starts at Santa Anita. Also always hits the board. Breakpoint, the Chilean horse here, is 1-for-1 at Santa Anita, but it was over a huge distance of a mile and 3/16. Guess what? We're going the classic distance. We're going 10 furlongs. So the two breakpoint for Neil Drysdale, who didn't show up at Kentucky Downs. I'm not mad at that horse for not liking Kentucky Downs. Last time this horse ran before that was at Santa Anita, mile and 3/4, downhill turf, going into this turn over the dirt and then running the turf course all the way around. So I've got the two on top here, 9-2 with Tyler Bayes and Neil Drysdale.
All right, we're going to skip the fourth race and going to go to five straight stakes races, starting with the Grade 2 City of Hope Mile in race five. This is for three-year-olds and up, $200,000 purse on the line here. And, I love the name Tarantino, but I'm sure that horse is probably not. We got a pretty obvious favorite here. The top 1, 2, 3 horses are really the horses to beat, and maybe with the five horse coming late. Louis, who do you like out of this?
Yeah, good for you, because I do think the five is a problem here, actually. I think that you have to look at Prince Obama, the five. Not Prince Obama, but Prince Obama Dan, in case you're listening. Phil D'Amato again, Juan Hernandez, the two of them already hitting at 21%.
Dan a big Obama fan? Big Obama supporter?
Maybe not.
Okay.
Ish. Yeah. And then...
he's in a pot-smoking state.
He loves Denver, dude. He really does. So...
Dan is a little Denver, man, because he was high.
Kathkin Peak, though, serious horse for course here. Four runs, two wins, 2 seconds. Has run a 95 handicap or speed figure, excuse me, handicap in an optional claimer with Umberto. Keeps Umberto here. Horse is always a player, so at least keep the one in your ticket if you're playing that exactly that trifecta. Iradeo, he and Kathkin Peak go back and forth. Iradeo did win the Wicker at Del Mar over a mile. We're going a little bit longer than that. The horse has won twice at the distance. Beyond Brilliant, interestingly enough, has run at the distance, but missed the board with a 101 speed figure in the kill row, or not in the kill row. It was actually a considerable amount of time ago. And so I'm interested. I think, or no, it wasn't the kill row. What am I saying? The kill row mile. But that was behind horses like Count Again, Space Traveler, and Subconscious. Those are really, really good horses. Horse only lost by a length is the 6-5 favorite for a reason. I think you have to include the 1, 2, and 3. If you want to get cute, you include the 5. There's only 6 horses here. If you want to get really cute, you only include the 5.
Okay. Well, let's go on to the Santa Anita Sprint Championship. 6 furlongs on the dirt, $200,000 race, 3-year-olds and up. We're going to see some very familiar names in here. Someone like CZ Rocket. Who do you like in this one, Louie?
Yeah, Forbidden Kingdom was one of those horses we heard about on the Derby Trail that it just didn't work out when they started going 2 turns. So he wins the San Felipe, grade 2, going 2 turns, Juan Hernandez for Mandela. I think everybody remembers he goes to the Santa Anita Derby as the favorite. And then 14 lengths behind, has an issue. They have to take the horse off the Derby Trail, excuse me. They're coming back at this distance, which is really interesting. And you might be thinking, okay, they're just trying to give him 6 furlongs, give him a warm-up. Man, Richard Mandela hits a 24% off of this kind of layoff. So I don't think this is unintentional. He goes route to sprint at 20%. So the guy really knows what he's doing with this kind of horse. I think Forbidden Kingdom is the top selection here. I think the 9-5 number makes sense. CZ Rocket is an 8-year-old gelding. He's a little like Mike. He's old. He's gelded. He won this race before.
Yeah.
Has run a 97 speed figure in that race. Is really capable of winning here. Has been a Breeders' Cup horse, ran second behind Whitmore at Keeneland when Mike and I were there. He's capable of winning. Let's put it that way. He's 1-for-3 this year. That was in an optional claimer at Del Mar. He comes back in the Pat O'Brien. Doesn't work out. For some reason, he's up the course. He gets Ramon Vasquez back. Ramon was on him for that first sprint at Del Mar this year, and so it'll be interesting to see if he's ready to go in this one. And then I have a bunch of horses in this one, actually. I think None Above the Law is a problem here. Runs in that Del Mar mile on the turf. Doesn't like it. Is going from turf to dirt. I like that a lot, actually, for this horse. 3-for-10 lifetime on fast dirt. I think he's going to be okay. Has run an 80 speed figure at Santa Anita before. I think he'll be an interesting horse in this spot. And then the 5 is Super Ocho. So Amador Sanchez has become an interesting case study in Southern California. He grabs horses at the highest level in Chile and brings them to Southern California. So Super Ocho comes up here, runs at Mountaineer, and wins. Then he brings him out west, and he runs 7th by 4.25 lengths. If you look at the 7, Toto Fino, this is another horse he pulled out of Chile, brought him up here. He immediately wins in the optional claimer ranks with Hector Berrios. Umberto Rispoli is going to be aboard here. That horse ran a 94 speed figure first time out in the United States. So I just think there's a bunch of horses you have to look at. And so go ahead in the 6th race here. And I have 2, 1, 7, and 6 here in this race.
Forbidden Kingdom, Richard Mandela trying to do the exact same thing he did with Omaha Beach when Omaha Beach missed the Derby and then came back in this sprint and won big. Richard Mandela had Omaha Beach as well. So there you go. I loved Omaha Beach. I was thinking about this.
Dude, that was like a day of mourning when he scratched out for me.
I would say that he,
like, that was it.
Was probably the most, it's the most disappointed of all the Derby horses that were supposed to run that we didn't get to see run.
Yep, I agree. Yep. You and I were both on him very early. So, yep.
Yeah.
It was legitimately sad. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go on to the Eddie D. Eddie D. Who is Eddie D? I'm going to have to look that up. $200,000 raise. I'm sure I've looked that up in the past. I just can't remember.
It's your job and not mine. Keep going.
6.5 furlongs on the downhill turf for 3-year-olds and up. Who do we like in this race, Louis?
You can read about this in the sheet. I do a pretty detailed breakdown, but I like the 2 Air Force Red on top here for Leonard Powell and Victor Espinosa. This horse is 3-for-7 this year, so the horse is either going to win or not. And
that's usually how it works.
Because
you either win or not, or you don't win.
I get it, but they waited till 4 to run this horse. And they did right by the horse because the horse has run 3 times this year. And he's won 3 times, all of them at Santa Anita. And all of them at this distance. So for me, at 5-to-1, I get Victor Espinosa at 5-to-1 with a horse that's always won at this distance and at this track. Give it to me all day. I'm way into that. I think that he is the horse to beat in this spot. The one lane way is in this race as well, has been running against Lieutenant Dan in grade 3s. Before that, ran against Coulthard, who's also in this group. Before that, in an optional claimer at Santa Anita. This horse has won at Santa Anita. And 2 seconds as well. 2 seconds and 2 runs this year. Mike Smith should be able to get this horse to the winner circle if he's got his best stuff on Saturday. Son of Into Mischief. I just think he's got a really, really serious shot here. The 4, I think, is the morning line favorite. It is. Gregorian Chant coming in here. Again, we're on that 6.5 furlong downhill turf. And I should have mentioned this right away. Air Force Red has won twice on this exact course. And there's something about how they break and they go to the right and then they go to the left that some horses don't mind and some horses really mind. And Air Force Red is one of those horses that doesn't mind it at all. And so breaking from the 2 actually offers him an opportunity to be in a great position that way. To be fair, Gregorian Chant is 1-for-2. He gets Umberto Rispoli. So it's not like he's got no shot at this one or anything. Just ran it a mile in the wicker at Del Mar. Almost won against Irideo, who's in a different race on this card. Has run in huge spots like the Japer, the Turf Sprint at Churchill Downs. It's grade 2 on Derby Day. So this horse has been in huge company before. There's a reason this horse is the morning line favorite. I'm just going to try to beat him because he's coming off of a bit of a layoff. Phil D'Amato, very good off a layoff, so that's not part of the issue. But so far, 2-1-4. And then the 5 Coulthard is in this race. Did win at 5 furlongs at Del Mar. Has run over this course before, has never been really effective, but at least has the experience. And then the 8 horse is Dubai Key, is an Argentinian bred. Again, Hector Berrios, man, going to keep hearing his name. 3 wins in 3 sprints this year, 1 on synthetic, another one on turf, another one on turf, and then one on synthetic, 1 on turf, and 1 off of turf. And then they bring him out west to Del Mar in the grade 3. And he runs a respectable 4th, beaten by less than 2 lengths. And so I think Dubai Key has a real shot here for Salvador Amador, who I'm falling in love with, obviously. And so 2-1-4-5-8 in that race.
And I'm embarrassed for myself right now for not knowing who Eddie D is. Like, embarrassed for myself.
Talk to me.
Eddie Delahousie, famous jockey, won back-to-back derbies in 82 and 83.
Yeah.
Won on Gato del Sol and Sonny Talo.
Also, SoCal guy?
He was actually more of a Louisiana guy.
Oh, there you go.
So he's born in Louisiana, kind of, but he did race in California, was on top of also Risen Star, AP Indy, Princess Rooney. So had some great horses. Won the Breeders' Cup Distaff twice and the Classic once and a couple other Breeders' Cup races. So there you go. That's Eddie Delahousie for sure. Yeah. Should have known who he was. So let's move on to the Awesome Again Stakes. I do know who Awesome Again was. Awesome Again was. Really good racehorse. And this is $300,000 race, mile and an eighth, and it seems like we just saw this race. And I feel like when we talk about Royal Ship going against Country Grammar and Express Train, it's going to become like almost like Sconson and Bell's the One, like always these all these rematches that we always have. So
that's actually a good analogy for this yeah. group. There's a bunch of horses in that group. It's great, actually.
Yeah.
So look, man, Lost in the Flight Line race is Sherva telling us that Country Grammar was so far behind Flight Line he thought he won the race.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he was 7 lengths ahead of Royal Ship.
Right.
And I remember after the San Diego Handicap, I said to you, man, I don't know the field for the Pacific Classic, but Country Grammar feels like a single. And you were like, whoa. And then they were like, oh, yeah, Flight Line's going there.
Yeah.
Not so much, right, yeah. And so this is my single in the sequence, is Country Grammar.
I think that's legit.
I think he's totally legit. I think... he's going to, you know, he's third up here, essentially. This is where Baffert does the damn thing, right? These kinds of races with this kind of horse. I think the one of the cool parts is, for me, is Tonalist was one of the horses that I, early on in handicapping, kind of figured out was going to be good in a spot. He was a big Belmont bet for me 1 year, believe it or not. That was the California Chrome Derby year. Son of Tonalist, out of the Tappet line, of course. I think he wins here. I think he wins convincingly here. I think the conversation on Saturday is, where does Country Grammar fit in the classic field? Not which race should he go to? He's not a flight line. We get it. But
he can hit third.
Boom. That's exactly it. Can he pick up a $1 million check? I think that's the conversation on Saturday.
Yeah. All right. Let's go into the Unzip Me Stakes then. $85,000 listed stakes race. So this is California Racing. 6.5 furlongs on the downhill turf course.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do a quick pick here, though, because we've already done a lot of handicapping.
Look, so. Connie Swingle is the 5, has won over this course twice. Obvious include the 2 is Del Mona. Good news, also won over this course. And so use those 2, 5, and 2.
All right, that's it. And then we're going to start, like, really kind of diving into the Breeders' Cup stuff next week. And we'll talk with some horse racing, but we'll look at these fields and we'll get some perspective and see what we can kind of come up with. So you got a grin on your face. Why do you have a grin on your face?
This time of year, I think everyone kind of goes to sleep on horse racing, and it's one of my favorite times of the year because
the month of September is fantastic.
I love the September meet at Churchill. Then Keeneland picks up and everyone pretends they like horse racing. And then, and then I adore the November meet. I think Clark Day is one of my favorite horse racing days of the year. And I think the Clark is setting up because of
Flight
the competition in the Classic to be freaking loaded. So
yeah, I think the Clark could be loaded this year.
I'm just smiling, man. I'm just smiling. I mean, look, you're getting the Kentucky Derby winner tomorrow at 6-1, man. And he loves Churchill Downs or Saturday. I mean, it's the time of year where all this work that you and I have done the whole year.
If Derby Rich Trail to now. If Rich Strike finishes ahead of Hot Rod Charlie, let's see, what will I do?
Bye-bye beard.
Ooh.
You look better without a beard anyway.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. I've seen the pictures. You look fantastic without a beard.
I don't think I could do it.
Louis Longshot.
He's not going to, so you should just name
it. If I do it, if Zach's got to shave his beard too, then we'll do it together.
Ooh.
Zach.
Oof.
Zach loves that beard.
I want to go back to some of those older pictures of Zach. When I saw some of these older pictures of Zach that made him look like a degenerate wedding DJ.
Dude, there's a picture of me at Zach's wedding.
I resemble that, okay?
Yes,
I
resemble that. Not anymore. Bleep not off. Anymore. Yeah.
There's a picture of me and Zach in our tuxes. About to get on an elevator out of our hotel to go to his wedding.
That he sends to me every year on my anniversary, by the way.
100% I do. And someone catches us off guard, and we both look up at the same time, and we both have the, kind of look on our face at the same time. And I just text him and his wife every year in a group chat, is it really your anniversary unless you see this picture? And
It's not.
That's right. So there you go. I don't know if you know, Mike. Do you know that I gave the best man toast at Zach's wedding.
You've told this story like 3 times. Zach,
right,
is that true?
Then play the music. All right, let's get out of here. Fine.
You're turning into that Louis guy.
Turning into Issel. Have I ever told you about Artis Gilmore in the second year? By the way, my pick 5 in the sheet is $80, and I think you can get some value because I think some of those turf races are going to get fun.
All right, hold on. So before we go, we got to make sure we just get a little look real quick.
Closing time. Turn all of the
there it is. There's Zach in his DJ days right there. So
that's not the caliber right there, man.
I am not embarrassed.
Let's get out of here. Let's go. See you next time on the Horse Racing Happy Hour.
Closing time.